Refuah Shleima for Chayaliba, Bas Dina Aliza. She was in a 5-hour surgery today. So Chayaliba, Bas Dina Aliza. Learning Lila Nishmat Rav Yaakov Yehuda Ben Yeshua. Refuah Shleima for Esther Reza Bas Dava, Rivka Bas Gittel, Chaim Yonah Ben Dava, Shmuel Aaron Ben Sarah Reza, Rivka Bas Gittel, Naftali Ben Gila. Refuah Shleima for Avraham Moshe Mordechai Ben Sarah Bela, Avraham Yishai Ben Aviva. For Ruchama Chava Bela Bas Rachel and Ratzia Fega Bas Chaya and Elisheva Bas Chana. Okay. So just a couple of announcements before we start the shiur. This Sunday, we've been advertising this for a while. This Sunday, Mirtz Hashem, this pottery painting and lunch. For women who are ages 40 and up, you should please register so we know how many pots to bring. Something like that, okay. Whatever. Okay, Thursday, a week from tomorrow night, August 21st. Very important, at 7 p.m. It's an early class, but next Thursday. It's an early class, an evening of awareness. Why and what to do when a loved one has an eating disorder. We went out, we got the number one man, really, he's the number one man, not only in New York, the East Coast, but they say he's the number one man in America, on this subject. He is Martin Fisher, who is the chief and medical director of the eating disorders program at Snyder Children's Hospital in North Shore, Long Island, and the North Shore, Long Island Jewish Health System. So he's talking on the signs and dangers of an eating disorder. After him is Ariella Rosenthal, who is an eating disorder specialist with the Jewish Board and Family and Children's Services. Methods of intervention based on clinical understanding of eating disorders. Anyway, we're very much now in Arnava. We want to bring classes of different things that are awareness for women. And therefore we went out, we really did a lot of work to get these people to come speak. So it is an early class. It's next week. Thursday, Mitchum at 7:00 p.m. Arnava, this is already a little bit in the future. Sunday, September 14th, but you need to buy tickets because this concert is just going to fill up the downstairs. Once the downstairs seats are full, we can't sell any more seats. So it's Baruch Levine. He's famous. He's got a fantastic CD out there. Also at 7 p.m., it's only $18. You're all invited to Mitzvah Hashem. The kickoff event of the year, Sunday, September 14th. Of course, Avinu Malkeinu Mirtz Hashem, with Rabbi Pesach Kron, Rabbi Ilya Mansour, myself, will be Sunday. We specifically were paying more to get Brooklyn College on a Sunday. We got a Sunday because last year people complained that that they were going to have Torah College. It's Tuesday night, whatever. Everybody had something else, a different night. So we did it. It's the Sunday night before Yom Kippur. Mirtz Hashem, tickets are ready for sale. Anyone who's in the back, if you don't have a seat, you can sit on the side. You can sit behind the mechitza. You can hear me through the mechitza. Okay. The Arnava road trip, I think there's 6 spots left, if I'm correct. It's a 2-day road trip to the Adirondacks. You're going to Lake Placid. It's supposed to be absolutely amazing. It's for women ages 20 to 30. Only 5 spots left. So it's going to be an amazing trip. It's a good way to relax before the year starts. And then, of course, we have the Arnava Goes Rafting, which is Sunday, August 24th. Is that this Sunday? No, it's next Sunday, I believe, right? Next Sunday. Ages 20 to 30. If you're a little older, a little younger, and you want to try it, I'm sure they'll let you. They're going down to Delaware. Then they're having a barbecue. They're leaving at 9:15 a.m. You should please register. Okay. All right. So we're doing this. We're going out there. We're doing a lot of different programs for you. So we'd like you, show up. Okay. It was amazing, all the people that were here on Tisha B'Av. Shetak would be a schus for Klal Yisrael, that next year Tisha B'Av should be a moed, should be a holiday, a yom kippur. All right. So, we are right now in between Tisha B'Av and Shabbos Nachamu. Shabbos Nachamu is the Shabbos. The reason it's called Shabbos Nachamu is not because they have concerts. It's called Shabbos Nachamu because the Navi, what we say at the end of reading the Torah on Shabbos is the Navi says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. So there should be a Nechama, condolences to Klal Yisrael after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So last year I spoke about, I'm not going to really get into it, that's not my speech tonight, that, you know, you have to be careful Shabbos Nachum. It's not a time to be wild and crazy and act like Meshuggah. It's a Nechama. I'm going to try to explain a little bit what that means. It's a Nechama on Tisha B'Av. It's a reflection that you had the right Tisha B'Av and you're going in the right direction, because right after Shabbos Nachamu, 15 days later is Rosh Chodesh Elul, 30 days later is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. I don't want to make you nervous already, but they're all connected. So it's not a time to get wild and crazy and, you know, go to the hotels and Matzah Shabbos, whatever it is. It's a time that there's a Nechama for Klal Yisrael that you know, that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, but that we made it past the Tisha B'Av, we made it past the 10th day, which was the burning of the Beis Hamikdash, and we're still here. So Shabbos Nachamu is sort of a celebration of that we came out of all this destruction, like the Holocaust and the Spanish Inquisition and everything. We came out and we're still here. Shabbos Nachamu was still here even after Tisha B'Av. And to celebrate that, we have to use our heads that we're still here, not my getting crazy and my party. So it's a nice Shabbos. It's a special Shabbos. Something to talk about. You should have a nice lava malka. But everything has to be with a certain, you know, certain midah, certain measurement. Okay, so I think that one of the things we should do between Tisha B'Av and Shabbos Nachamu is to show Hashem that we learned something from Tisha B'Av, and we're changing something. And we know that Tisha B'Av is here because of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, because of Sinas Chinam, not because the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of the three big Averis, murder and immorality and Avodah Zarah, and that was only 70 years. We went to bubble for 70 years. But the second Beis Hamikdash, which was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because we didn't get along with each other, it's over 2,000 years, and we're still in Golos. So we can correct Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam, the word means hating, for no reason. So someone said, are you allowed to hate for a reason? So there's a mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah losa, say, that says, Leisisna es achicha l'vavcha. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, losa, say, that you're not allowed to hate another person in your heart. So that means with a reason, and that means without a reason. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, about insulting people in public and the way we treat other people. So sinaskina means, she's not invited to my wedding. She's not invited to my party. She's not invited to go out. I don't like her. Why don't you like her? I don't know why I don't like her, but I just don't like her. She's not like one of us. Like, what a terrible, I heard a girl say that. That is the most terrible thing to come out of a person's mouth. Well, we don't hang out with her because she's not like one of us. What does that mean? That she's Martian? She has 6 feet? She has 4 eyes? What does it mean she's not like one of us? This is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is very sensitive to how we treat other people. I told you a story many years ago about this guy whose father passed away, who I know very well, and he saw his father, his grandfather. And his grandfather came to him in a dream right after he passed away. And I know from what he told me that he definitely is, it's a true story, because what he told me that he saw, there's no question, he wouldn't know to be able to say that. And his grandfather told him that the first judgment in the next world is Ben Adam L'Chavero. Not did you keep Shabbos, not did you put on tefillin, not did you eat kosher, but the first judgment a person is under is how he treated other people. Because as human beings, we don't have an excuse for that. We don't have an excuse for anything, but we could say, Hashem, I don't understand kosher, not kosher. I don't understand Shabbos. But how do you explain to Hashem, I don't understand insulting another person? Well, you're a person, you don't want to be insulted. So that's the first din that Nebuch a person has to go through. He said, that's a very tough din. It happened to have been that man had hurt his two daughters in a very terrible way, and they were not moichel him, and that's why he was suffering, and he came to his grandson, and he asked him to get his two daughters to come to his grave and to be moichel him, because otherwise he was in the kafakela, which means he couldn't even go into Gehenim, he couldn't even go into Gan Eden. He was being chased between the worlds by Malchei Chabal, whatever. It was crazy stuff. And this boy that I know very well, happened to have gotten his two aunts who hadn't talked to their father in like 15 years, and they had a good reason not to. And they went and they were moichel him. And he came back to him on a Shabbos and told him, and thanked him. He said, now I'm going to pay. I'm going to Gehenna. I'm going to pay for all the other stuff I did. But I couldn't even go there until they were moichel. This is a story I said in our novel, must have been 3-4 years ago. So we have to be very, very careful on how we treat other people. Forget about how we treat our parents. Because then there's a lot more that gets involved. There's Hakar Satov, there's the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveim. I'm talking about someone that you don't even know. Your parents is a whole different situation. And I talk about it a lot. You know, there's certain things I talk about a lot. I talk about Kibbutz Aveim a lot because I spent a lot of time studying it. And the punishment, Hashem has certain hakpadas. That means he's very strict on certain things. Hakara Satov, appreciating when someone does something for you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is extremely strict on. But one of the number one things that God is strict on, and it's very scary because it's almost impossible to keep this mitzvah. Only one that really could keep this mitzvah correctly was Esther Hamalka, because her father died when her mother was 3 months pregnant and her mother died of childbirth. So she never could hurt her parents because they weren't ever alive, you know, that. And even that, after a person dies, you say something bad about your parents. It's also a lack of kibbutz aveim. And it's like Shabbos. It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to keep kibbutz aveim the way you're supposed to. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put kibbutz aveim in the first five of the Ten Commandments. Now the first five of the Ten Commandments are bein adam lamakom, between us and God. The second five, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't be jealous, you shouldn't steal. All these, the second five, is between us and another human being. Kibbutz aveim is in the five between us and Hashem. What is it doing between us and Hashem? Kibbutz aveim is between me and my parents. It's bein adam lachavero. And the answer is that if you don't respect your parents, it's considered like you don't respect Hashem. Because it is the basis of Hakar Satov. I know it's very hard. I know a lot of people, when I talk about it, it hurts them and they get upset because Rabbi Wallstein, you got along with your parents and they didn't do what they did to me. But the bottom line is that it doesn't, I have to say it because this is the truth, it doesn't matter. If you learn Hilchis Kivud Ova Aim, it says, Mamzer Chayiv Be Kivud Ova Aim. A child that is born from adultery, his mother committed adultery. That means that child is a mamzer. That child cannot marry a Jew. He is totally ostracized from the Jewish nation. He didn't do anything wrong. His mother did something wrong. The Shulchan Aruch says he has to have kibbutz of the aim for his mother like any other child has kibbutz of the aim for his mother. Now there's nothing that a parent can do more wrong than create a child that's a mamzer. And the Shulchan Aruch says that child, if it hits its parents, it's chayiv misa. That child has a din of kibbutz aveim. I can't tell you why Hashem is so strict about it, but the bottom line is that he is, and you need to know that. And therefore, you need to be very careful. Doesn't mean you need to stand there and get abused. I've spoken about this. Doesn't mean you need to call up all the time and have them scream at you. But if you are in their presence, you must have total respect for them. If you don't want to call them all the time, that's not an aveira in kibbutz aveim. The aveira of kibbutz aveim is not in their presence honoring them, answering them back. Chas v'shalom, forget about ever hitting them. That's beyond anything that that's what I'll tell you a story. I haven't said this story in 4 years. It's not my share. My share is on Kas tonight. Last night my share was on something else. I spoke about Kas. But Kosh Baruch, I always say before I walk in that I should talk about what you need to hear, not what I need to say. So I was going to talk about Kas, but if we're talking about kibbutz aveim, which really had nothing to do with what I'm going to speak about tonight, then I guess there's someone in this room, could be it's me, that needs to hear about kibbutz aveim. And the strictness of kibbutz aveim. I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me and with Rabbi Gamliel, with my Rabbi. So I, for the last 10 years, have been researching this idea of spiritual DNA. Now, I want to write a book on it. I don't have a chance to write a book on it. But every time I catch it in the Torah, I write it down. There are many times, number one, B'nai Yisrael, Rachmanim. All Jews have a midah in them that they have pity. Where does that come from? Chazal says, from Avraham Avinu. Now, Avraham Avinu, well, I don't know, 4,000 years ago, you're telling me that I'm going to grow up and have pity because of Avraham Avinu. What's the connection? Even if I never learned anything about Avraham Avinu. And the answer is that there is something called spiritual DNA. And in the Zohar, it talks about that a physical body and the spiritual body, we spoke about this, are mirrors. And everything that happens in your physical body happens in your spiritual body. And therefore, the DNA of a person
is by his parents. He has a certain, the person has a certain type of hair, certain color hair, certain color eyes, how short you are, how tall you are, what diseases you have to watch out for. All these things, we know DNA is amazing. They're trying to, you know, get into the DNA and use it for medicine. DNA is absolutely amazing. In a neshama, in a soul, there is also something called spiritual DNA. We just had the Pasha Benel Salafchad, the daughters of Salafchad. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, all the Jewish men are getting a piece of the Eretz Yisrael. Our father didn't have any. We don't have no brothers. We want a piece of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe asked Hashem. Hashem said yes. Says Rashi, are they the only five girls in the whole of Eretz, in the whole of Klal Yisrael that had no brothers? So where are all the other girls coming and complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu? Says Rashi, they were from Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik said, make sure you bury me in Eretz Yisrael, you take my bones out of Mitzrayim and you bury me in Eretz Yisrael. He put into his family the love of Eretz Yisrael. Five generations or more later, he had great-great-great-granddaughters who didn't know why, but they had to run to Moshe Rabbeinu. We need to have a piece of Eretz Yisrael. Says Rashi, where did that come from? Yosef's spiritual DNA. So there is definitely something called spiritual DNA. So I went out to Teaneck. This was about, oh man, Teaneck was probably about seven, maybe, this was way before Arnava, maybe 7-8 years ago. I went out to Teaneck and I gave a shiur on kids at risk, this whole business. And at the end of the shiur, let me preface it. Let me go back a little bit further. There was a boy that I was dealing with that from one day to the next, from being a kid in school, sixth grade, normal kid, normal relationship with his parents, from one day to the next became a kid that was throwing things and breaking things and doing all kinds of stuff. And they took him to doctors, and one said bipolar, and one said this, and one said this, and they gave him this medicine, ADHD, and they gave him that medicine, they gave him this medicine, and he went to the best of the best of the best, and nobody could come up with what is wrong with him. There was this one lady, she's supposed to be the best therapist in the world, and she's an older lady, she's like 70 years old, she works in Manhattan, and they took this boy to her. She takes $1,500, she meets him, she talks to him for 2 hours, she films it, she studies the film of her talking to him for a week, and then comes out with her diagnosis of what's wrong with the kid. That's what she does. She gets $1,500 for it. Fine. She comes out with, he's not this, he's not that, he's not this, he's in between everything. Thank you very much. So there's no medicine we can give him, because this medicine, you have to give him a little bit of each medicine, and therefore there's really nothing you can do. Put him in an asylum. Because he's going to get worse and worse and worse, and he's going to do all kinds of, and he was doing all kinds of stuff. He was pouring Clorox on the carpet. He was doing like some crazy stuff. Okay, so this child I knew, and I went to the parents. I said, listen, I don't want to get involved because maybe it was a mental thing. So you went and you checked it all out, and you took him to the best of the best. And she says she doesn't really know. He's between this, that, and the other thing. I said, why don't we go to Eretz Yisrael? Take him with us, and let's take him to some rabbi therapist, some neshama therapist, because the mental therapist, this kid was in between everything, doesn't have a diagnosis. Let's go and get a diagnosis. So, went to the first Makubel, and he said, we walked in, I know him very well, this Makubel, he's a very big tzaddik, he's a holy man, and he looks at this boy, and he turns to me, and he says, Ruach Ra. Bad spirit. I'm like, Mazel Ruach Ra, where did it come from? What are you talking about? He said, I'm not dealing with it. He said, I dealt with this once, and I was sick for weeks. I'm not dealing with it. Now his father's with me, and the kid's with me, and the kid understands. And he's like, what is he talking about? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. It's not a dibbuk. We have to do an exorcism. He's a normal kid. Like, you know, Ruach Ra. I'm like, okay. We went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Biggest tzaddik, got a lot of dog. He looks at the boy. I said, Rav Chaim, maybe you can give the boy a bracha, whatever it is. He says, oy, oy, oy. Now Rav Chaim says, oy, oy, oy. That's oy, oy, oy. Right? So here I got a ruach ra and an oy, oy, oy. It's not a joke. It's very scary. He didn't give a bracha. That's like very, very scary. So this father's freaking out. He's like, this is what you took me to Eretz Yisrael. It's worse than I thought, you know. What's going on over here? Okay. The next, when I went to my Rebbe. I went to Rabbi Gamliel. And I'm telling you the story. I was there. I went to Rabbi Gamliel. I sit down. Rabbi Gamliel gives the boy, you know, he gives him a handshake. And he's rubbing his hand. And he says, Nu, what's your name? He says his name. He looks at the boy. Looks at his eyes. Looks at him carefully. He says to the boy, Could you leave the room? I want to talk to you, to your father and Rabbi Wallerstein. Okay. So the boy leaves the room. Rabbi Gamliel looks at the father, and he says, "You didn't get along with your father, did you?" So he says, "No." He said, "You once hit him back. He hit you, and you hit him back." And I'm standing there. I'm like, "I don't know if I should be here." And my friend, this guy says, no, don't worry about it. He says, yeah, I was a teenager. My father hit me very hard. I turned around and hit him back. Rabbi Gamliel said, there's a ruach ro, but it's not a ruach ro what you think. When you hit him back, you created a malach. And that malach is what's disturbing your child. So this guy says, so what do I do? So he says, go to your father's kever. His father wasn't alive anymore. So he couldn't ask him mechila. He said, go to your father's kever and ask him mechila. There's a whole tefillah, and you have to take your shoes off and you stand by the stone and you cry and there's a whole tefillah. And he went and he asked his father mechila. And came back to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said, it's going to be better. He didn't say it's going to be perfect. He said, it's going to be better. That's what he said. I listened very carefully to how, you know, you have to listen carefully to what they say. He said, it's going to be better. It's going to be better. And Baruch Hashem, it's much better. Is it perfect today? It's not perfect today. But it's much better. Now, I said, how does that work? And he said, because when a person doesn't have Avera, you create a Malach. Now, everything in Shemayim is one, you know, one connected to the other one. That's the way it works. What you do is what you get back. It, you know, what goes around comes around. Mida keneged mida. So he said, how would Shemayim punish you for what you did to your father? The only way to punish you should lose your money. That's not mida keneged mida. So this child is now put in a situation. There's a malach that you created. The only way to destroy that malach is by getting mechila. So that malach is taking revenge and he's making your kid like this because of what you did. I was like, whoa. I was like, okay. You know, I watched it, I heard it, I believed it, but like, okay, fine. I go to Teaneck after this whole story. This is like a year later. I go to Teaneck, and I give this whole drush on kids at risk, on some ice, this whole thing. I finish, and I'm not talking about Kivut Aveim. I'm talking about, you know, how you have to, the 50, when your kid gets a 50, you have to focus on the 50 he got right. And on the 50 you get wrong, and you have to give them time, and I'm giving my whole shmooze on bringing up kids, whatever it is. And I finish, I leave the shul, and this man comes in, Teaneck, I don't know him, he comes up to me, says, Rabbi Wallerstein, can I talk to you for a minute? I go, yes. He goes, you know, there's a weird thing. Now, he didn't hear the story that I just told you. He says, a very weird thing, but my son, he's 15 years old, he's a good boy. And then one day he comes home, he's meshuggah. He starts screaming at us. He starts cursing us. He's getting in trouble in yeshiva. And the bells are ringing in the back of my head. So I said to the man, well, how did you treat your parents? He says, what does that have to do with it? I said, just answer the question. How did you treat your parents? He says, I'll tell you the truth. My parents were Holocaust survivors. There was a huge generation gap. They didn't understand me. I understand them. But I always had respect for them. I was always good to them. I said, did you ever hit them? Chas v'shalom. Did you ever yell back at them? Chas v'shalom. I always had respect. I didn't have such good communication. I'm like, so he said, you know, maybe you could just come talk to my son. You're in this and you can help him. So I was about to say, okay, call me at that time. Which you called me, I actually called you back. I said, you know, call me and I'll come to Teaneck and I'll meet your son. And as I'm walking away as an afterthought, I said to him, by the way, how's your wife's relationship with her parents? And he goes, oh, that's the whole story. I'm like, okay, tell me the story. His wife was a Sephardic girl in Israel. He's an Ashkenazi guy from America. her parents, I think they were Moroccan, were very against her marrying an Ashkenazi boy. Okay, that's the way it was. She got married without them to this boy in America. Okay, listen. The halach in Shulchan Aruch is that there are three things that you don't have to listen to your parents. Who you marry, if you want to go to yeshiva to learn, to grow, and they don't want you to go, you don't have to listen. And the third thing is very interesting in Shulchan Aruch, that if the family is having a fight with another family, and they don't want you to talk to that other family, and you do, you don't have to listen. You're allowed to talk to that other family. Those are the three things that it says in, you know, that it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So she marries this guy, and her father, a few years later, passes away. And she doesn't go to the Levaya. She stays in America, she doesn't go to Levaya, she doesn't go to the Shiva, she sits Shiva here, separate from her whole family. Her mother passes away. At this point, the whole family's not talking to her, so there's no way she's going to Israel. So she missed going to the Levaya of both her parents. Now, when I heard that, I said, Shalom Aleichem. I said, listen to me. I said, Hashem works in mysterious ways. I spoke here. You brought this up to me. Get a plane ticket. Go with your wife. Her parents were in Israel. Go to the Beis HaKfaris. Go there. And I'll give you the tefillah to say. Take your shoes off. Stand there. Cry. She has to ask Mechila. If she asks Mechila, you'll see your son is going to change. He says, how am I going to? She's never going to believe this. Spiritual DNA. These mice, these stories. A guy from Teaneck, like, hey, you're telling me these mice. Like, what are you talking about? I said, listen, I'm wasting my time if I go talk to your son. You need to do this. He goes home to his wife. He tells him what Wallerstein said. She says, now, you get that ticket now. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. Fine. What?
You ask why it isn't a daughter and it's a son? You ask him why it isn't a daughter that's rebelling and a son. Remember?
No, you know my story is better because she's writing them all down. Okay.
He had no daughters.
He only had sons. Right. Oh, right. So my question was, why not the daughter? If the mother was the one that wasn't acting to her parents correctly, why did a boy go off to Derech? And the answer was he had no daughters. So anyway, so I send him to Eretz Yisrael. I send him to Eretz Yisrael. She goes to the Beis HaKfaris. She asks Mechila with him. He calls me up right afterwards and he tells me my wife was crying like a baby for 2 hours. I said, I am sure your son is going to be okay now. I'm sure that her parents were Michael. But by the way, before you go on the plane, go to my Rebbe and get a bracha. Go to Gamil and get a bracha. Okay, what's his address? I get a phone call from this man. He's hysterical. I went to your Rebbe and your Rebbe said that what we did will not work. So I'm like, could you put Rabbi Gamliel on, please? So Rabbi Gamliel gets on the phone. I said, Rebbe, these people just spent money. They just got on a plane. They paid a lot of money because they weren't there for 3 days. They were going for a day. So it was like a crazy amount of money. This man did not have a lot of money. I said, Rebbe, I was with you last time when I came with that boy. And then, what's going on over here? He says, you're right. But that son hit his father privately. So he had to get Mechila from his father privately. This woman didn't go to the Levaya of her mother and father. That was public. Because everybody that came to the Levaya said, where's the daughter? So it was a busha to the father and mother in public. So the only way there'll be Michael is that they have to ask Michiel in front of a minion. So they already now they're trying to catch a plane, right? And I'm like, listen, you went to Israel. Tomorrow morning, I'll get you a minion. I called someone, a yeshiva. They went, a yeshiva, like 15. There was more than a minion. It was like 15 guys. They went with them, she was crying again, hysterical again, and I got a call from the Rebbe who brought the 15 kids and said, I want to thank you. I said, why? He said, Art, my kids got so freaked out in this Beis HaKfaris, watching this woman cry about what she did to her parents, that they will have Kibbutz of Aim for the rest of their lives. We don't have to teach them anything, we don't have to tell them anything. They are so crazy, they are so white, they are, forget it. Anyway. I'm telling you the story didn't happen to someone else. I'm telling you the story happened to me. Okay? They came back home. It's a while. I happened to follow the kid, this kid that was totally, he's sitting in yeshiva, he's normal, he's quiet, he's learning. The father calls me all the time to thank me. It's nothing to do with me. So it's a very scary thing. It's a very scary thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very strict about Kivud Ovein. Now, I told this story a long time ago, and a girl came over to me, and she said, I got kicked out of school. I'm a very wild kid. I'm a trouble, you know, I'm a kid at risk. Not my fault. It's my mother's fault. She must have not been good to her mother after your drasha. So it's not my fault. It's my mother's fault. So why am I getting into trouble? I said, it happens not all the time. Because her mother happens to be, after I said, yeah, let's go talk to your mother. And Baruch Hashem, her mother had a very good relationship with her parents. So it doesn't mean that every kid that starts acting out is because they're going to look, oh, you know why I'm acting out? Because you were bad, mommy. You were bad to grandma. You're a fool. That's not why every kid acts out. Just like, you know, we spoke about Gilgal and the neshamas that come back. And I spoke once about they come back in rocks, and sometimes they come back in animals, and sometimes they come back in flowers. And all of a sudden I'm getting these emails like, Wallerstein, I just passed 4,000 souls. I was in the botanical gardens, and wow! Not every flower has a soul in it. Not every cat that you talk to has a soul in it. That's not what it means. But you should just understand from these stories that it's possible that because of how you treated your parents, that's how your children are going to treat you. I heard a very scary story on this subject. I just heard it. I don't know who I heard it from. I would repeat it from them. Oh, Rabbi Lamb. Maybe Rabbi Lamb. Could be it was Rabbi Lamb. That so there was this man who was very, very rich man. And he didn't get along with his father. And he lived very, very wealthy. And his father lived on the streets. A poor, poor man. And he would not help his father whatsoever. Now the grandchild, this man's son, who was the grandchild of this poor man that was in the streets, his own grandfather, came to his father one day. It was the middle of the winter. And he said, Dad, Grandpa is on a bench in the park. He's freezing. He's your father. You got to buy him a coat. You got to buy him a coat. Dad, you can't do this. You treat him so terribly. You got to buy him a coat. Father said, I'm not buying my father nothing. But I'll tell you what, son. He says, go upstairs. And in the attic is a very old coat. It's all fashmeted and smells and it's ripped. Take that to Zaidi and let him wear that. Let it keep him warm. So the son goes upstairs. The grandson goes upstairs, and the father's waiting downstairs for him to come down. And it's 5 minutes, and it's 10 minutes, and it's 15 minutes. Finally, after 20 minutes, the grandson comes down with a coat cut in half. Only half the coat. One sleeve, half a coat. So the father says to